irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Jim Potts back on the air, and as always, thank you so much for tuning in and sharing your Sunday evening with me. I really do appreciate that. Say, before we get started, I have to tell you that last week, unfortunately, there were some technical difficulties. So apparently, it wasn't streaming out there. I don't know the technical part of it. So basically, I'm repeating the show last week that didn't take place. So you'll see at least some of the topics being the same. Well, at least a major topic being the same. I have some other things I want to talk about. But I wanted to at least let you know what had happened last week. I know I was getting calls in Texas afterwards. So at any rate, we've got it all straightened out from what I understand. So let's move forward and let's have some fun. First thing I want to do, though, is send a shout out. There are the count on the police officers. You know, I'm always talking about police officers killed in the line of duty. Well, so far, believe it or not, there's 24 this year. One more recently, I think, in the Chicago area, if I'm not mistaken. 12 have been killed by gunfire, the other 12 by different things, car accidents, et cetera, and the like. At any rate, always sending out condolences to the families and always hoping that the listeners are going to support police officers as opposed to looking at them as a negative. Okay, having said that, look, today we're going to be talking about tips for protecting yourself from identity theft. We're also going to be talking about tips for protecting yourself, believe it or not, from medical theft. Yeah, that's a big deal, apparently. So we are going to be talking about that. And we're also going to have a blurb or two on wage theft also, if you're ready for that one. All right? Okay, listen, the first email that I'm going to read, though, has to go back to last week because I got a couple of emails that they didn't get this or hear everything on this. So the email was, what was your opinion about the gun manufacturers being sued when one of their guns are used in a killing, and that one was unsigned. Basically, here's what the deal is. They have a law that came out called the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act, and that's an act that prohibits civil liability actions from being brought or continued against manufacturers, distributors, dealers, or importers of firearms or ammunition. Can't bring damages, you know, injunctions, or other relief resulting from the misuse of their products by others. Look, you know, I was asked about my opinion as well in another email that I received. And look, you know, I'm an advocate that people ought to be able to, buy their guns. I can't see the manufacturers being held accountable for it. But these are big issues. There's no doubt about that. It's not new. The this Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. It's a law that came out, you know, because crimes have been committed with their products. But you got to understand that manufacturers and dealers can still be held liable for damages resulting from defective products or a breach of conduct, criminal misconduct on their part. So there is some things that you can do with that. Now, if they in fact, if they can be held liable anytime that's negligent entrustment, meaning when they reason to know a gun is intended for use in a crime. Now, it's going to be very difficult for a manufacturer to know that a gun is going to be intended for use in a crime. I think that's kind of hard one to call there. But I will say in the years before the act was passed that the victims of firearms violence in the United States has successfully sued manufacturers and dealers for negligence on the ground that they should have foreseen that their products would be diverted for criminal use. Again, that is just so difficult, you know, in all honesty. But they had these different suits that were dismissed. I kind of went through this last week, not sure what part got picked up on. But in 2010, the United States Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal, you know, against Glock because the lawsuit was by the family of the victims in the Los Angeles Jewish Community Center shootings. And that was a big deal. We get it. But to sue the manufacturer behind that, you might say that was kind of a stretch. Supreme Court threw it out. Now, there was another one. The Brady Center and Families of Victims of the 2012 Aurora shooting sued Lucky Gunner, the online store where some of the ammunition was actually purchased. So that was another one. And the Aurora shooting, by the way, you might remember, was the shooter that was in the movie theater in Colorado. You might remember him on the news, the guy with the orange hair and the wide-eyed look. That's what they're talking about. Federal judge threw that one out also. As a matter of fact, in that case, the plaintiffs, that's the one bringing the lawsuit, they were made to pay the defendant's legal fees. So that was interesting. The last one was in 2006, and it was in Connecticut. So you can see these are different state holdings, different places. A Connecticut Superior Court judge dismissed a lawsuit by the families of the victims in 2012 of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, again, against the manufacturers. So it's kind of tough, you know, to think that the manufacturer should be held for this, and it seems like the court is not siding with them at all. Anybody that wants to call in and express an opinion, it's always welcome. I got some emails on it, and it was kind of split half and half. Some people think that the manufacturers should be held liable, and other ones, you know, felt just the opposite, of course. So, well, you know, that's the system that we live in. So it was about half and half. Now, by the way, anybody that wants to call in, the number is 818-602-4929. Again, that's 818-602-4929. And don't forget to get your pens and paper ready for these tips. By the way, if you want to send me an email, send an email, listen up with JP at PottsandAssociates.com. Again, that's listen up with JP at PottsandAssociates.com. And if you want to get to my blogs or my email blasts about upcoming show topics, text POTS Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email. Again, text POTS Associates and text it to 22828 and enter your email address, and then you'll get the topics on the upcoming shows, okay? Okay. Now look, let's get to the second email. Jim, I recently read about a young girl in Florida killing herself with a handgun. Her parents had no idea that she was trouble. This is scary. As a parent, I would like to know if there's anything we should look out for. You know, I looked on the internet and there's a lot to digest. Any thoughts would be appreciated. Gwen from Pensacola, Florida. Yeah, Gwen, yep, I'm aware of that young lady. For those of you that are not familiar with that, there was a 17-year-old student in Seminole County, Florida. She was attending the Lake Mary High School in that county, and she killed herself with a handgun. Now, is what she did. She was in class. She excused herself from class, and she found an isolated area in the school's auditorium and shot herself. Parents had absolutely no idea, you know, that something like that was going to go on. Of course, because there was a gunshot, school went on lockdown, parents were notified, you know, all the systems were in place. What they didn't know was where she got the gun from, so here we go again. How did she acquire it? Who did the gun belong to? So, you know, these are the things that we've talked about before, you know, the accountability. Having a gun in a household is one thing. And having your kids have access to the gun is something else. And I'm not saying that her parents did, because, again, I'll make it clear that they didn't know where the gun came from. Now, Gwen, to answer your question, you know, I just did some research on it as well. I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist, et cetera, but some basic information out there talks about the warning signs of suicide being, there's a few things that I made notes about. One is talking about wanting to die. Two, looking for a way to kill oneself. Now, I will tell you, as a police officer, Gwen, I had to go out and find victims who had, in fact, you know, taken their own lives for a variety of different reasons. Not a pleasant situation to have to tell a family that one of their loved ones took their own lives. At any rate, another bullet point that I wanted to point out to you is talking about feeling hopeless or having no purpose in life. These are the things that people look out for that are in the field of psychology. talking about feeling trapped or in unbearable pain. There's people that have been in unbearable pain due to having, you know, these different diseases like cancer, and then they take their own life. Talking about being a burden to others, increasing the use of alcohol or drugs, acting anxious, agitated, or reckless, sleeping too little or too much, withdrawing or feeling isolated, showing rage or talking about seeking revenge, and displaying extreme mood swings. Well, some of that stuff, it may not have anything to do with it, but if you know somebody's exhibiting those warning signs, of possible suicides. Don't leave them alone. Remove any firearms, drugs, sharp objects, alcohol, you know, away from them, and then call a number. There's a number you can call called the United States National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That number is 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-TALK. So, Gwen, if you want to call them, they could probably give you some other information as well. All right? So, there, at any rate, there's some information that, you know, that you'll be able to use, and hopefully you won't need the more serious information in terms of one of your children doing something. Okay, let's take a look at this third email. Jim, did you hear about the serial bank robber who got 32 years in prison and never set foot in the bank? Yes, amazing. He says, yes, I did hear about that one. This is signed by Doug out of Chicago. Because when we think about serials, we think about serial killers, things of that nature. We don't think about serial bank robbers. So I found this one to be kind of amusing. But, yes, I had heard about it. And the fact that he got 32 years. This guy was the mastermind, and basically he sent five people into these different banks. And even though he never went to the bank himself, they robbed these banks based upon his direction. So he finally got caught. He had been on the run apparently for a long time, and he ended up getting 32 years. Well, you know what? He's got to pay his debt to society. And apparently the restitution is about $82,000. So, yeah, hey, guys, crime doesn't pay. So, Doug, yep, I found out about that. The last thing I want to mention to you before we get into the main topic, and it's kind of consistent with this shooting of this young lady in Florida. I wanted to give you, and I had meant to do some of this last week, didn't get to it anyway, was that the from kindergarten to 12th grade school shooting statistics from 2018. So I hadn't had a chance to do that. I want to just briefly cover that. Believe it or not, in 2018, there were 82 school shootings, people. 82 school shooting incidents. That is the highest it has ever been since 1970. That's a lot. What's going on out there? Since 1970, there's been 1,300 school shooting incidents. 1,300. And then 2018 had the greatest number of incidents since that time. Now, the next highest was in 2006 with 59 incidents. And I'll tell you that 2018 was the highest year for the number of victims killed also, including the shooter, with 51 killed. And I guess it makes sense with the numbers simply because of the fact that the number of shootings was higher. Now, there are three states that are at the top of the list with the most incidents of school shootings. Three states. California had 157. Texas, 130. Florida, 87. I mean, look at those numbers. Now, since 1970, there's been 669 incidents that occurred outside on school property, and 588 occurred inside the school building itself. So just to give you those numbers. All right? Look, these numbers are alarming. There's no doubt about it. We all try to seek the solutions for these things, but it's out there. And, you know, as I've said before, we just have to watch. We got to keep a close eye on our kids to know what they're doing and what they're thinking. Okay, now for that big subject area we covered last week that we didn't have a chance to, we had a chance to do it last week, but apparently, as I said, there was a technical difficulty. So get those pens ready and let's get going. The first category is protecting sensitive information. First category, protecting sensitive information. Number one, never, ever give out your Social Security number unless it's absolutely necessary for what you need to do. We don't, you know, the original Social Security cards, quite frankly, should be kept at home in your safe or some other place that you have that's safe. There's no point in carrying your Social Security number with you. You know, I went to the racetrack one year. And it was actually a business event, and I ended up winning on a bet that I placed. And when I went up to the window to collect on a bet, they turned around and told me that they couldn't pay me because I had to go to the IRS window. And I'm like, IRS window? What's that all about? They said, no, because of the amount. But they wouldn't tell me the amount. I said, okay, well, I guess that part was the good news. Heading over to the IRS was never the good news. So at any rate, so I turned around and I went over to the IRS window, and the person behind there, I gave him my ticket. He said, oh, yeah, you know, this qualifies, and so we'll need your Social Security card. I said, my Social Security card? He says, yeah. I said, who carries this Social Security card around? Because he told me if I don't present it, he couldn't pay me. I said, who carries this Social Security card around? He turned around and said, the people that come there to actually gamble, the people who make a living out of coming there, they have them because they're there every day and they're gambling. So I couldn't get paid. I actually had to wait until the, because, you know, these tracks, they, you know, you, these races take place at a track like down in San Diego, then it goes to Santa, you know, at Del Mar, then it comes up to Santa Anita. So I had to wait until it came up to Santa Anita, and I went and I collected my money. And I remember when the guy turned around and told me, he said, hey, you know, because it was in December before they came up there. And I turned around and I said, hey, here it is. And yeah, he said, listen, he said, you should be smart about this. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, you should really wait until after December 31st, you know, and that way this doesn't get reported on your income, you know, until, you know, for the following year. I told him, man, I've been waiting for 3 months for you guys to get up here. There's no way. This ticket looks like it's starting to fade already. I said, give me my cash now. I'll worry about the income later on. But anyway, so I did get paid. I know you're curious how much it was, but I'm not going to tell you. But I can tell you it was okay. All right, that was number one, and that was a little story to go along with your Social Security card. So make sure that you keep it safe. Now, look, number two, if you have to give out that Social Security card, make sure who you're giving it to. Being comfortable with them is not enough. Know the other party, what they do, how they would use the number, and where their private policy is located. Look, sometimes people call and ask for things over the phone or you get something on the internet. You know, don't trust any of that. Make sure you're double-checking and rechecking who it is you're giving that number out to, like I said, especially over the phone or on the internet, okay? Number three, never carry your Social Security card anywhere. I think I just told you, keep it in the safe. Keep it in the safe. Now, here's the other thing. Number four, get a paper shredder. A lot of people don't have these shredders. You don't want anyone being able to piece together because some people will say, well, look, I'll just rip it up. Okay, but look, if you have to rip it up, you rip it up yourself and you really rip it up into tiny little pieces that nobody can put back together. Get out those scissors, do whatever you have to do. But, you know, you can also take your shredding to like the Staples or Office Depot. Those places have shredding available. There's shredding services out there. They're a little bit more expensive. But I can tell you nothing goes in our trash can at the house with our name and address on it. My wife is pretty anal about that. You just don't want to take any chances. So cut that stuff up, all right, because identity theft, you'd be surprised at the lengths that some of these people will go to get your information. Okay, next one. Protect your PIN numbers. Cover the number pad when you're using or entering the PINs at the ATM. It's not just at the ATM. What about when you're at the grocery store? And they turn around and say, okay, put your PIN in. If you notice, a lot of times, the most grocery clerks, when they hand you that little doodad there to enter your PIN, they'll actually turn away from it. You know, watch the ones who don't. Make sure that you put your hand over there and shield it because you never know who may be standing there observing. Some of these people, I tell you, they're very, very slick with being able to do it. Binoculars, I mean, all kinds of different things. And then all of a sudden, then they get your purse or they get your wallet, and now they get your ATM. So make sure you protect those PIN numbers. Cover the number pad when you're entering PINs at the ATM, et cetera, or at the grocery store. All right? Also, listen, when you create these PINs, never use something like 1234 as your PIN. All right? That's ridiculous. That's one of the most common ones that people do, or four numbers of the same letter, because you don't want to forget it. All right? Don't do that. You know, get a little bit more creative than that. Okay? So never use consistent numbers like 1234 for your PIN. Okay, number six, pay a little more for an unlisted phone number. Again, less talking to telemarketers means less chances that you can become a target. And now, to be honest with you, I know that's one of the points, but now they got these robocalls. They did just come in, come in, come in, come in. And you wonder how to get your number, but get an unlisted number if you can. And make sure that when you have the chance to opt out on it, in terms of it being listed, make sure that you do that. All right? Okay, number seven, try to separate your personal information as much as possible. Don't write your Social Security number on your checks. Writing your Social Security numbers on your checks or keeping your driver's license with your Social Security card. Look, if something is lost, at least the crooks only have one piece of information and not everything about you. So I already told you, don't carry a Social Security card. I know that when you have to apply for a job now in California, one of the things that's required is you presenting certain documentation that show that you're eligible to work in the United States. Social Security cards and driver's license are probably the number one IDs that people take to work to show them. That's fine. You could show it to them, carry it there to show it to them, but once you get home, make sure once again that you separate it out, all right? You know, the driver's license, a lot of people don't memorize driver's license. I've had my driver's license memorized almost from the time that I got it. And that way I don't have to pull it out. I don't have to worry about it. If they ask to see the identification, that's okay. But sometimes when you're talking to them, you tell them, yeah, this is my driver's license number to, you know, show that the verification, okay, and that you know that it's valid. Okay, number eight, don't trust anyone over the phone. Never, ever give out anything over the phone. It's just too dangerous. Once again, you don't know who's calling. These scammers that are out there, they will say and do anything. I had one I talked about it last week, about this scam that's going around, whereas what they do, they call you and say that they're from the FBI, they're out of New York or some other state, your name has been picked up because you got information that you sell drugs, and you're like, huh, what? And they're talking about prosecuting you, but that is what they'll do for your convenience. They'll bring the case locally to you for X numbers of dollars to cover the cost. I actually had a client that they told him $3,000, and he turns around and gives them a credit card for $1,500 as a deposit. Don't do things like that. I mean, that may seem like, oh, who would do something like that? Look, understand something. Sometimes when the heat is on, the pressure's on, these people can be very convincing. There's no state or federal agency that's going to... Oh, and they also told him that they were going to be out there on the following Monday to shut down his business unless he took care of this. Don't listen to that. Police officers aren't giving you a heads up, by the way, we'll be there on Monday to shut down your business, or that we're coming in with a subpoena to search your premises. Nobody does that. Don't listen to that kind of stuff. All right? They'll play to your emotions if you're not careful. So don't trust anyone over the phone. Number nine. Do not keep any sensitive information in your car. Look, credit cards, statements, checks are a no-no. Don't keep checks in your car. That stuff has your address as well, okay, your banking information. There's times when I would work patrol where a person would turn around and tell me they don't have their drive, like a lady. This happened mostly with women. Oh, I left my purse at home. Now, as soon as she tells me she left her purse at home, I already know she must be driving on a suspended license or she's got a warrant out for her. So what's one of the first things that I would say? Well, how can I identify you? What do you have in your vehicle? Do you have a bill? Do you have a this? Do you have a that? Something with your name and address on it so I can verify who you are. So you'd be surprised how many people have credit card statements and things of that nature that are in their car that they're able to hand me. Take that stuff out of your car, all right? Don't take it for granted. And by the way, when you lock up your cars, by the way, excuse me, when you go home, don't make an assumption that you don't lock up your car because you live in a nice neighborhood or you're here. Lock up your cars at night as well, no matter what, even when they're in your driveway with the door closed, with the garage door down. People get in and they get things, all right? Always lock your vehicles and do not keep personal things like I'm telling you now in your vehicle. Okay, number 10, buy a safe. Look, there's different safes that you can buy. There's different styles that you can buy. You know, you can also get yourself a safety deposit at the bank where you can put important documents, but that gets expensive. I get that. You know, at least a safe is a one-time expense. You know, I have a safe in my house. The safes that you can get that you can actually from the inside. It fixes down to the floorboard so they can't walk out with the safe. And if you get a safe like that, get one that's fireproof as well, all right? They're smaller safes, but look, they can pick it up and carry it away. It doesn't really give you any benefit. So just consider a safe for the house that you can keep your important documents in, okay? Number 11, educate others. If everyone teaches others about protection, there'll be less likely identity thefts and less people will try to do this because it's not as lucrative. We have to start clamping down on this. People are out there having their identity stolen. And I'm telling you, you're talking about millions and millions of dollars. Look at some of these places that are, some of these hackers that are hitting some of these big companies and getting all of our personal information. This is a world that thrives on information. As much information as they can get about somebody is the more that they can bring harm against a person. All right? So talk it up. Tell people. Okay. 12, be alert. Think about how your identity can be stolen whenever you're dealing with your own sensitive information. Again, you want to be overprotective. 13, be a clam. And be patient. Don't do something with checks, credit cards, or social security numbers, etc. when you're in a rush. Okay? Don't do that. Be calm. I think I said clam. Be calm. Okay? Be calm and patient. Thinking about dinner, you guys. At any rate, be calm and patient. Don't rush with things. When you rush with things, you're trying to get that those bills out there or something, and you make a mistake, make sure that you don't do it when you rush. Sit down, calmly fill out your bills or whatever it is. Make sure the information is accurate, and then go from there. Now, number 14 kind of addresses the same issue, blank spaces. Always draw a line on the blank spaces. And I'm talking about on credit cards, receipts. So like, you know, when you write the, like at a restaurant, all right, always put a line through any of the blanks there so somebody can't add something to that. And that's on checks, credit cards, whatever the case may be. Credit card receipts, and then always write the amount with a dollar symbol following immediately with the numbers. So like on that, I'll just use a restaurant receipt. So now you total it up. Put that dollar sign mark there and then write the first number right next to the dollar sign so that somebody can't slip another number in there somehow. All right? So do that and then immediately follow with the other numbers. And on checks, always draw a line after you write the amount, all right, or in numbers. So you know what I'm talking about. You know on that line that writes out the dollar amount? So you write out the dollar amount, and then when you finish writing out, I don't know, just, let's just say 300. So after the D, at the end of the 100, then you turn around and put a line from that D all the way over to the right. Don't leave it, you know, with a blank space there, all right? Okay, that was under that category. Now let's switch hats under the credit report and monitoring. Credit report and monitoring. Okay. Now, some people will sign up with a credit monitoring company. I belong to one. I think those are very good. Now, here's something I didn't know. And this was going to be, that was number 15. Let me give you number 16. Freezing your credit. Did you know that you can call the credit report agency to freeze your credit so no one can ever apply for a credit card or get a loan under your name until you unfreeze it? Let me tell you, it's going to cost, it'll cost you a couple of dollars, but the peace of mind is worth it. That means if somebody gets your information, they won't be able to, because they would have to go through the crediting agency. But if there's a freeze on it, guess what? They're not going to be able to do it. I did not know about that. And I think that's pretty good. 17, get free credit reports. Some people never check on that. Never check on it. Listen, you get the free credit report so you can check them. And that remember that if you don't cancel your membership, they will charge you a monthly fee. So if you sign up and you want to be able to get the credit report, then at some point you can always cancel, okay? But they'll keep charging you monthly. So even if you have to pay that initial fee, that's okay, all right? But get a copy of your credit report and go through it very carefully. Okay, next category. Know your credit cards. Know your credit cards. Now, for those of you that have a multiple, you know, a multitude of credit cards out there, you got to keep up with that. You got to keep up with it. So, number 18 is always know how many credit cards you have. That might sound ridiculous, but know how many you have. While most people believe that cutting up used credit cards and not canceling them is better for your credit score, you run the danger of having others make fake cards as you lose track of how many accounts you have open, believe it or not. Now, I think that's kind of tough, but this is what they're talking about. Now, remember something else. Remember on the old credit cards, I've also said in the past that if you have these old credit cards, take a few of them and stick them in an old wallet so that if you're traveling nationally or internationally and somebody is going to rob you and they say, give me your wallet. Hey, give them the wallet with those outdated credit cards in there. And they're not going to look at the dates or the expiration dates. They're going to be happy they got the wallet and they're going to take off. So when they get to their place of hiding and they open it up, they're going to see all those expired credit cards. All right, but I would still suggest that you call and let them know on those credit cards that somebody got those credit cards because your numbers will still be on there. Okay, but at least they won't be able to charge anything. All right. Number 19, let's talk about credit card receipts. Never, ever leave them behind, even if it doesn't have the full credit card number. And I'm talking about gas stations. I can't tell you how many times when I go to the gas station, somebody's credit card receipt is hanging out because of the fact that they drove off and just left it there. So gas stations and restaurants are the main places where you see these things. Some people don't care about the credit card statement the credit card receipt because they know what's going to appear on their credit card statement. But hey, don't leave those things there. There's some very creative people out there. And before I forget, you know, I've also told people in the past about the when you stay at a hotel. Those hotels, you know, when they give you that room key actually has information on there, especially the ones that had those strips on the back. Believe it or not, it's got your information. And people turn those things back in. But people have machines, believe it or not, where they can actually get that information off of there and off of those hotel room keys. So I never turn my room keys in, hotel room keys. I always take them back with me and I cut them up. And when you cut up that kind of stuff or you cut up those credit cards that have those little strips on the back of them, hey, cut them up, okay, in small pieces. And I'll tell you what I do. I don't even put them in the same trash that's going out, you know, for the trash collection on our days or on Tuesday. I'll put half of them in on Tuesday, and I'll put the other half in on the following Tuesday. I don't do it at the same time. So there's little chance of anybody being able to get that stuff and being able to use it. Hey, this isn't being paranoid. This is being safe. Because I'm telling you, these people out there, they're snatching identities. Okay, now look, number 20. Instead of signing the back of the credit card. Now, you know, some of them tell you sign the back of the credit card with your signature. You turn around and lose that credit card, now they got the credit card and the signature on the back of it. You can actually write, instead of signing on the back of the credit card, you can actually write on there, check ID. Check ID. So when you go to the grocery store and they flip it over to check out that, that signature on the back and it says check ID, then they're going to ask you for your identification. Now, a lot of times, you know what's going on now, they're just having people run these credit cards into the little, you know, swiping it or if it's got a chip on there, et cetera. I'm not even sure how much they're even checking that stuff. But if it's one of those credit cards with a signature on the back, that's the safe way to do it. Number 21, if your credit card company offers it, opt for the card that has your photo on it. And that way they've got the identification. They got you. They can look at you and you have it. I have a couple of credit cards that are like that. And so when we go there, they look at the picture. And I think that's pretty good because now it's easy for them to be able to match your face to the credit card. So some companies have it. Some of them don't. But if you have an option, that's something you might want to consider. And don't worry about the picture. It's all good. Create a list of phone numbers and credit cards that if you have, just create the list, first of all. Let me back up. Create a list of phone numbers and the credit cards that you have. And look, it's not absolutely crucial that you record the full credit card numbers on it, but if you do, remember to keep it in a secure place. In case your wallet is stolen, you can quickly call all credit card companies to cancel those cards. So that's just a matter of convenience at that point. Okay. Now, one off on the credit card numbers. Some credit card companies will generate a one-time use number for you to use online. I didn't know about that until I did the research on this, which means that, because again, getting online and putting your credit cards online, the credit card companies, they'll have a one-time use number that you want to use online. Seriously consider using that. And I think that that's pretty cool, to be honest with you, because then you don't have to worry about it. And it's not your credit card number totally, all right? So remember that. It's called one-off, O-F-F, credit card numbers, all right? It's a one-time use credit card that they'll have that they'll give you with your credit card company. Okay, next heading, computers and the Internet. Number 24, only make online purchases through trusted websites. When you see the symbol, the trust E symbol, Better Business Bureau stamps are a must. All right? So again, everybody does a lot of shopping now online, especially around the Christmas holidays. You want to make sure that you see the trust E symbol or the Better Business Bureau stamp. All right? You want to make sure that's there. If that's not there, do not use your credit card. All right? Okay, 25, install an antivirus or anti-spyware on your computer and never, ever open up links through an email unless you're absolutely sure that it's safe. We put those memos out to our employees a couple of times a year just as a reminder because we got hacked one time. You know, somebody opened up something. Don't open up something you don't know. If you're not sure about it, just delete it. Don't go there. All right? Okay, number 26, monitor all your accounts online. Check your accounts regularly so that there's, because I'm going to tell you, that is so convenient now. I love doing that. I get in there because I'm double checking to see what's come in, what I'm expecting, always checking my balances. Don't like things being, you know, bounce backs or miscalculations and all of those kind of things. So I'm always looking at that. So if you ever get out, so monitor all of your accounts online. You can do that with your credit cards. You can do that with your checking accounts. You can do all of that. All right, that's one of the positives of technology. So don't take it for granted and just wait until the end of the month when you get your statement. Don't do it that way. Number 27, passwords. Never save your passwords just for the convenience. Typing it out doesn't take that much time. Also, the more complicated it is, the better. And remember, use capitals, use letters, use symbols, whatever you have to do, okay? Don't just have a straight, you know, Bosco. If you ever watched Seinfeld, Bosco, okay? No, because what you want are things that includes numbers and symbols. A lot of the times now with the when you do things online and they want you to create those passwords, what do they tell you to do? They make you do it. You know, so that's a little bit more complicated, okay? Capital letters, whatever the case may be, with numbers around it as well. You know, okay. Let's keep moving. Number 28, let me talk more about passwords because people forget this. Change them regularly. Change them from time to time. Don't just stick with them. You know what I found out a couple of years ago? They actually have people that drive around and they've got these machines or something that they can point at your house or something of that nature to pick up information off your computer if you're ready for that one. And by the way, if you have one of those cameras attached to your monitor because you do Skype and things of that nature, hey, when you finish being on there, take a little cloth or something that you keep over that. Because I'm going to tell you, that people can get in there and actually spy on you. Oh, yeah, believe it or not, they can do that. I keep mine covered with one of those cleaners, you know, like those little cloth cleaners for your glasses. I just have one of those that I have draped over it. Not that I use that often, but I keep it covered. Okay, Number 29, security tokens. Some banks are starting to offer those security tokens that change numbers every few seconds as an added security over your passwords when logging onto your online bank account. If your bank offers security tokens, they're called, use them. All right, they're called security tokens. So ask your bank about it if you do a lot of online banking. All right, number 30, don't log onto accounts using a public computer. You don't need the possible hassle of forgetting to log out. And let me tell you something. A lot of people will take their laptops. This is another one that I found out. And go to like Starbucks, and you're sitting up there, and you're at Starbucks with your laptop. Listen, there's people in there that can actually monitor what you're doing as well. I mean, this stuff's crazy, all right? I'm not an advocate of sitting at Starbucks with my laptop and on there taking care of any kind of business or going into things. There's people that can actually, you know, tap into what you're doing, believe it or not. It's crazy. Okay, next major category, secure your mail and mailboxes. Number 31, turn your checks backwards when mailing them so the information is facing inwards. Or take a piece of paper, a blank piece of paper or something, and wrap that check in there. All right? And when you stick it in that envelope. But don't have it so that you just stick the check in there without at least being folded. All right? Number 32, better yet, get non-see-through envelopes so no one knows what's inside. All right? Number 3, limit the credit cards you have. You don't need an army of credit cards to buy your groceries. Look, there's some people that love credit cards. All right? You don't need an army of credit cards to buy your groceries. All right? Not only that, to me, you can get in trouble with having too many credit cards. That's just my opinion. 34, never leave bills in your mailbox for the mailman. You know how some people will stick there and put the little flag up for the mailman to do it? No, don't do that. Don't leave bills in your mailbox for the mailman. Deliver it to the post office. All right? Don't be so lazy. When you're heading out, drop by that mailbox and drop them in there. Number 35, when you move, contact all credit card companies, creditors, and the IRS immediately of the address change. Nobody likes calling the IRS. I get that. But when there's an address change, you need to do that. 36, go to the opt-out pre-screen. All right? The opt, O-P-T, out pre-screen, and take yourself off the mailing list that credit card companies use to send out those pre-approved junk mail emails that you get. Okay, so go to your opt-out pre-screen and so that you don't get that stuff in these credit card companies. 37, sign up for the electronic delivery of your bills. No more mail. No more possible lost mail. So some of those bills, they get paid monthly. They just come out of your account, but that's another reason for you to monitor your account like I told you. So if you could do that, that makes life easy. You're not sending these checks through the mail, etc. Check it out. Number 38, if you don't opt for the electronic bills, make sure you're getting all of your bills. Listen, these missing bills are for a reason possibly. So a missing bill should sound off an alarm to you. So if you know every month you get that American Express bill or that Discover bill or that this bill, that JCPenney's, and all of a sudden you didn't get it, you call. Find out what happened. All right? Find out what happened. Now, some people think that those credit card, that their account number is not on there, but if you look down at the bottom, there's a whole bunch of those numbers down there. That's where those numbers are. So even though it doesn't appear in the statement, you know, where it just shows the whole number, look down at the bottom, you'll see what I'm talking about. Some of them do have it down there, mixed in with other numbers, of course. All right? But the people who know how to extract that information, they'll get it. Number 39, consider a P.O. box for your mail if the mailbox in your neighborhood aren't safe. So consider a P.O. box. So if your mailbox is not a secure mailbox, you know, per se, think about getting one of those P.O. box mailboxes. And number 40, take your mail as soon as your mailman delivers it. Don't leave it in your box. Some people in residences, I know for apartments it's a little bit different because in apartments they put them in there and it's secured. But your home mailbox normally doesn't have, it's not locked. So when the mailman comes by, he opens it up, he throws your mail in, and he moves on to the next residence. All right? So you take your mail as soon as your mailman delivers it. Now, of course, they deliver it sometimes when you're at work. So as soon as you get off from work, make sure you get it. And if you're going out of town, by the way, don't forget to have the mailman not deliver it, because that's another sign that nobody's at home. They check that mailbox, and there's three or four days worth of mail in there. They'll know that you're not at home. All right? Because I'm telling you, if you pay attention, you're going to realize that he or she comes around the same time, meaning the post person. They come around about the same time every day. Now, look, in all honesty, these aren't so hard to implement. If you do all of the above, you will greatly reduce the chances of becoming an identity fraud victim. Start now and practice fraud prevention. It is becoming a big deal out there. All right. Okay, well, those are the 40 things that I wanted to cover with you on that. I know that was a lot, but look, there's some good stuff. Look, I don't care if you do half of it. Even if you do half of it, you're that much, you know, that you're that much better off, make a long story short. Now, the other thing that I found out, and I was really amazed about this, is that there's something called medical identity theft. Medical identity theft. Now, who thinks about something like that? So I made some inquiries on that, and I'll tell you what I found out. Medical identity theft is when someone steals or uses your personal information, like your name or your Social Security number or your Medicare number, for those of you that are on Medicare, to submit fraudulent claims to Medicare and other health insurers without your authorization. Medical identity theft can disrupt your medical care, and it also wastes taxpayer dollars, which we don't want. But, you know, you got to protect your personal information. And it goes back to some of the things that we're talking about right now. So you should protect your personal information, check medical bills and statements, and report questionable charges of fraud. Most people don't think about that. But check it out. Now, let me just tell you something else. You know all those pill bottles that you have that's in there from all those prescription medicines that you've taken? Look, what's on those bottles? They've got your name, they've got your address, and a lot of times they have your medical numbers and things of that nature. So those pill bottles, you make sure that before those things go in there, don't just throw those out in the trash like that. Okay, put them in water, soak them, get those labels off of those bottles, all right? Quite honestly, you should not keep those old medicines around anyway. You know, kids, for those of you that have kids and things of that nature, you know we've got a big drug problem in this country. Believe it or not, some of those kids are going into their parents' medicine cabinets, and those outdated, you know, pills that you think that you're not taking, they're just sitting in there. They may be used by these kids. So if you're not using them, get rid of them. Get that label off that bottle. You know, shred the label or just destroy the label, whatever the case may be, and get rid of those old pills. They don't need to be in there as well. Now, the other thing is that when you go to a doctor, sometimes you get summaries. Okay, you get summaries from your visits. Don't leave the summaries around. Now, you may want to create a file because you want to keep your summaries, and that part is okay as well. But again, keep those in a secure place, all right, with your important papers, all right? And if it's outdated stuff, you know, I don't know that you need to keep it. I do keep all of mine because you just never know. You know, you have a history. But a lot of these, like Kaiser, I'm with Kaiser, you can go online. A lot of that stuff's online now anyway, so you don't really have to keep a paper copy of it, all right? Your medical card, make sure you secure your medical card. Now, I know what's going to happen. Most people are going to want to carry their medical card with them in the event that something happens. But once again, if you lose or misplace it or lose your wallet, somebody steals it, whatever the case may be, remember, just like a credit card, you need to be able to call in to your medical provider and say, hey, my medical card got stolen, and have them issue you a new number. Now, this next part is a little sad, but I'm going to tell you, family members. There are family members who don't have medical, okay, that also take the information because they don't personally have medical and they use it. Now, look, I'm not talking about their kids or something like that, but other family members that come by, they get the information, they don't have medical. It's been known to happen. So with family members, they use the information as well. So I hate to say don't trust anybody, but I'm just telling you to be cautious, all right? So anyway, medical identity theft, there it is. The last one I want to talk to you about very quickly, wage theft, believe it or not. And let me tell you, wage theft occurs when employers do not pay workers according to the law. That's what I mean by wage theft. They're not paying their minimum wage. They're not paying for overtime, things of that nature. They're not allowing workers to take meal and rest breaks. And they're requiring off-the-clock work or taking
you know, workers, you know, tips, et cetera. So here they get the tips because they work at a restaurant or whatever, and the employer never gives them the money. That's what I mean by wage theft. So if you are in a situation where you have a wage theft situation like I just mentioned, you turn around and make the appropriate call to the appropriate state agency. All right? All right. You've been listening to Jim Potts at LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show, but let me remind you that you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. Be sure to join me next week. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, be safe, but more importantly, be a reluctant victim.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.